It's Friday, the 12th of February. I'm Bruce Millington, and we have got one of the best weekends of racing of the year coming up. One of those three statements is untrue. Welcome to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington joined by David Jennings, Tom Collins and Paddy Powers, Graham Temple. Unfortunately, it is not the best weekend's racing of the year. There is snow and ice all over the place. But we will have some action for you. And given that they are some unfamiliar all-weather horses for a lot of you, hopefully you're after some tips and some wisdom. So the boys have been studying hard and hopefully we will help you back a winner or two. We were expecting that fantastic card at Newbury along with Warwick, but they've fallen to the weather. Newbury's going to take place on Sunday week. Warwick's going to take place on Monday. So that's really good news. But in terms of this weekend, it is not the best, but hopefully the old adage of a winner is a winner will come true. We've got four races at Lingfield, all live on ITV4 on Saturday. There's also a good card at Nace, which DJ assures me is likely to take place. And then on Sunday, Punchestown race over in Ireland. We hope, fingers crossed, that a good card at Exeter can take place because the thaw is due to start. Whether it starts in time for that remains to be seen. But we've got plenty of tips for you. Hopefully some winners as well. We'll start with Lingfield on Saturday. Four races on the all-weather, all on ITV4. And the first is the 2 o'clock. It's the Get Your Ladbrokes Daily Odd Boost Handicap. It's over 6 furlongs. And we've only got four runners. Now, we don't have any prices just yet. The guys at Paddy Power are still getting their all-weather experts out of bed to get them scribbling and get them concocting their books. But we've got a betting forecast from the Racing Post, so that will give you a clue as to what we've got. Here we are, 7-4 Water of Leith, 5-2 Charlie Fellows, that's the horse, not the trainer, 5-2 Secret Handshake, and 9-2 Twilight Air. We've drafted Tom Collins in because he is the all-weather king, and so we better use him. Tom, away you go. Kicks off with a winner.
Yeah, well, this is probably the best of the whole race, all the races shown on ITV on Saturday.
Oh, Christ, are you kidding me?
I know there's only four runners, but there's some actual improving sorts in here, which is...
The last bit of wind that was left in my sails. Just...
God. Yeah, you can't say that there are improving sorts in many of the other races, but there are in here, which is a good thing. It's a really tight-knit handicap between four improving three-year-olds. I think early pace is crucial in these kind of events, especially small fields at Lingfield. And although you definitely don't want to be on the rail in the straight, being on the rail around the bends and going the shortest way around an all-weather track is obviously a clear advantage. And I'm hoping that Secret Handshake will get that under Kieran Schumacher. He's drawn perfectly in gate one. And he's improved so much since the fitting of blinkers 3 runs ago. He's gone from a mark of 71 up to 88. He previously looked like he was in the grip of the handicapper and potentially regressing. But the fitting of blinkers has worked wonders with him. He posted a really good time despite pulling hard early last time at Southall. The time was much better than posted by Charlie Fellows, who also ran over the same course and distance, obviously in a different race, 3 months apart as well. But the same horse that made the speed in both of those races, a pint of beer, you can use him to collaborate the form. Secret Handshake went 0.3 seconds quicker in the first furlong and ended up his race with a better efficiency time and a better time in general by 1.25 seconds. So based on that, Secret Handshake should have the measure of Charlie Fellows, although you can't exactly translate Fibersand form over to the poly track. The horse that could be the joker in the pack is Water of Leith. He stays the trip really well. And if Charlie Fellows and Secret Handshake take each other on early, he'll be the one to come through late. But I'm hoping that Secret Handshake will get the jump on him and make it 3 wins in a row.
Wow, full marks for enthusiasm. That was like David Jennings talking about the Grand Annual. That was great. Now, DJ, you're never anything other than enthusiastic. How's this race getting you excited?
The whole weekend, Bruce, deflated. overall, and as Tom said, the fact that this race is the most exciting thing happening at Lingfield does wonders for your enthusiasm. But it's funny, obviously we reshaped things this morning and obviously we're emphasising on Lingfield. And even when all the other meetings was on, my strongest fancy on Saturday was Secret Handshake, would you believe? Which is hard to believe. And Tom has made the case better than I ever could. But I was watching racing that day at Southall when he won last time. And I wasn't really paying too much attention, no betting the race or anything. But I was, as subtle performances go, I was blown away by the performance because it looked like he had to come back to the field. It looked like he had gone far too quick. And the fact that a pint of bear who set the pace with him was hammered, finished last of five, was beaten 9 lengths, and Secret Handshake was able to quicken again from the 2 to 1, and then again to hold off Elusive Treat, who had the run of the race. I thought it was an exceptional performance. I wasn't going into time detail as much as Tom, but I do know that the race that followed it at Suddle, because I remember thinking at the time, this was an exceptional performance. And the race after it at Suddle was won by an informed type, One Baba, who's only rated 61, I know. But Secret Handshake did a time, I think, over a second and a half quicker than One Baba as well. So that backed it up a little bit as well. Obviously, Tom has said so far better than I could. But there's an improving horse, the Strawn and Stall One, that Kieran Schumach knows that he can just go, right, away you go, point him in the right direction. Hopefully, he'll scrape paint around the bend. And given the way he finished the race at Suddle, I just think he's going to be extremely hard to catch, because he's able to sustain that pace over six. And I'll be disappointed if he's beaten Bruce.
Wow, fantastic. I thought I was going to have to really work hard to get any enthusiasm out of you guys. But you know, you're cruising along on the bridle. So that's absolutely superb. Secret Handshake for Tom and for David. Graham, who are you going to go for?
Well, the guys are very hot on that Secret Handshake. However, I am going to fall on Charlie Fellows. George Scott's in really good form lately. He's won two of his last six runners. And although this thing is returning from a 3-month absence, it did win its last couple of starts at Suddle and Wolverhampton. And when it raced at Kempton last August, it was only beaten in nose. So the different surfaces, the different all-weather going that you see, for instance, the likes of Suddle is a little bit slower than Lingfield, as we all know. So I think that it's worth chancing Charlie Fellows against that Secret Handshake, although lots of respect for the guys' pick. They're obviously clearly like that Secret Handshake. But if I was having a dabble on this, Bruce, I'd be playing Charlie Fellows.
Okay, we move on to the 2:35. It's the Bombardier British Hopped Amber Beer Handicap over a mile. We've got six runners here. The rough guide prices coming from the excellent spotlight team at the Racing Post are 7-4 Crackling, 3 Accomplice, 9-2 Noble Peace, 5-1 Apex King, and 8 Bar. Crackling is the only horse from my, and I must say, DJ, I keep a brilliant tracker. I don't know how, because I'm such a rubbish judge. But my tracker is brilliant. And the only tracker horse running tomorrow is Crackling, who's the favourite for this. Is that going to be your selection with Ryan Moore in the plate?
Yeah, I thought it would probably win, Bruce. It's likely raced. Like, he's five, and he's obviously had loads of problems. And we've only seen him 3 times. But I thought last time at Suddle, it was very encouraging, I thought. It drifted, I think, on the day because... there was a Daffer won the race. I think it was the same day that Thiessis was on at Goran, and looked for all the world that he was going to go by Daffer in the closing stages, and just was kind of bobbed out of it right on the line. But I thought it was the type of run that suggested it was fitness rather than ability that got him beaten that day. He's gone up £3 for it, but Daffer, I think, was completing a hat trick that day, and just you would imagine looking through these. His rivals like are quite exposed. You look at the likes of the Vegas Kid, you know what you're going to get. You know what you're going to get from Apex King, Noble Peace, and Accomplice, right? They are 7, 7, 7, and 8. So you basically, they have no real secrets from the handicapper. You know what the best they can produce is. And I just think off a mark of 78, there is a strong chance that Crackling could just be a mid-80s horse and could have a bit in hand here. So I'd imagine Martin Mead will be disappointed if Crackling can't win this, as you will be.
I will indeed. DJ, for as long as I can remember, there's been a big argument about how to pronounce that race course. Is it Southwell or is it Suddle? It's always been either or, but you've added a third option there, Soddle, which it tends to be how much I win there as well. But yeah, you complicated it massively. Graham, the 2:35 will be won by...
Well, just to say, Bruce, on the guys that work for the shop, as I do, a broadcaster with Paddy Power, we put together a little bit of a nap selections on all the sport and racing action over the weekend. And one of the guys in the booth put all his eggs on Crackling as his main pick on everything over the weekend. So there's pressure on him.
Who was it? Who was it, Graham?
PK, Patrick Kennelly.
Paddy Kennelly. Good man, yeah. Paddy.
He always gives out to me for mispronouncing his name, but he was all in on Crackling. So listen, I'm not, he's my boss, so I'm not going to argue with him. I did think that Ryan Moore getting the ride as well today is an eye catcher, and DJ also alluded to the fact that this Crackling obviously has had its problems, but all may well be good because it was only beaten ahead there on January the 28th. So I think Crackling has to be the pick, Bruce.
Do you agree with the lads, Tom?
I think he could be a cut above based on that effort on New Year's Eve back in 2018 when he beat Jim Palace, who's now rated 89. He's far and away the best horse in this field. However, he had a long break after that. And the last two runs haven't been quite as good. So I think at the prices, I want to take him on, though I'm certainly not against him winning. I think he is the most likely winner of the race. But I will be playing Apex King at the prices. We know a lot more about him than the favourite. His recent form figures aren't as inspiring as some of the field either, but he's dropped right down to a mark of 75. It makes him look extremely well handicapped because he ran to mid-90s on several occasions in 2019. And he's caught the eye on both starts for David Lotnane since switching yards. He's been far too keen on both of those occasions. He's probably the best treated horse both times, but he didn't get the ideal trip by any means. Now Luke Morris gets aboard, which is a huge plus. And hopefully he drops in from a wide draw, so he settles and he'll be finishing fastest of all.
Next up then, the 3.10 at Lingfield, mile and two. This one, it's the Betway Casino Handicap, and there are 10 runners. The Racing Post Spotlight betting forecast says that makes Kapala Crusader the 130 favourite, with Stop and Search 7-2. 4-1 Convertible, 7-1 Aztec Dreams, and 8-1 Bar. And Graham, you can go first.
I've fallen on top of Convertible here, Hugo Palmer's charge. Ryan Moore gets the ride today, and this Convertible has placed twice in its last two starts, both over course and distance. It did try to make all latest after running a bit freely early on in its race, and Hugo Palmer's charge, if you read its form back, you'll see that it's probably its best form has been when it's come from off the pace. So I'm expecting a hold-up effort from Convertible today. Hugo Palmer, the trainer, is in very good form with two winners from his four runners so far in February, and Ryan Moore, another eye-catching jockey booking. So hopefully that'll be a tasty 4-1 or thereabouts. So Convertible will do me, Bruce.
Over to you, Tom.
Yeah, well, Convertible ran against Stop and Search last time and the time before. So both starts this year. It's becoming something of a rivalry, although obviously at a very low level. And although Graham's made a good point for Convertible, I'm going to be with Stop and Search. I'm just pretty sure he's a better horse than Convertible. I thought Convertible got an easy time of things up front last time. He was ridden with the race perfectly to suit, and I thought he was just going to quicken away and win. But he failed to do so, and he was beaten by Stop and Search, who actually finished powerfully on the outside and should have won the race, but just got done on the bob by Noble Peace. The previous start for Stop and Search, he just had no luck in running whatsoever. He was in behind traffic against the rail and had to switch on multiple occasions. He wasn't beaten far at the line in fourth. All three of his victories have come at this track. He's overdue a fourth win. There's not much strength and depth in the field. The money for Kapla Crusader is banking on the fact that he's going to break well, but 9 times out of 10, he misses the start. I think this is a great spot for Stop and Search. I think he'll win.
Thank you, Tom. David Jennings.
Yeah, well, I can see where Tom is coming from with Stop and Search. The thing here is, with Kapla Crusader and Convertible in here, I think they're going to go a million in front. I think they're going to go really quick. And both really want a leader, and at best when they are leading. And I can see it setting up for Stop and Search as well, drawn in stall too. But the one I came down on is the bizarrely named Avarisk et Perils. I have no idea what it means. I have no idea how you could name a horse that. But I'm just a little bit worried. It's entered at Chelmsford tonight, but is Chelmsford on or is it off tonight? I don't know.
It's off today.
It's off, is it?
Right. Oh, it's off. Yeah. Okay, so that's good. So it's off. So it was doubly declared, okay? Just with Avarisk et Perils, right? She was sent off at 33-1 last time, right, over this course and distance. And if you get a chance to watch the race again, Tom Queeley rode her. And, like, he found every, like, it was very short of room up the home straight. And she was only beaten a length and three quarters. And I kind of said to myself, God, if she actually got a clear run there, she would have went pretty close to winning. And why was she 33-1? Because she actually won off, she's rated 59 now, and she won off 59 in June over a mile and a quarter at Lingfield as well. So similar conditions here. I just think she needs a fast pace to chase, and she needs the race to fall apart a little bit. I think she's going to get that with Kapla Crusader and Convertible in there. Kieran Schumacher is a good booking. And if the gaps open up the home straight and if they go quick enough, I think she might just be a little bit of better value alternative to Stop and Search.
Thank you, DJ. A vous risque et peril is French for at your own risk.
The aptly named A vous risque et peril, given that I tipped it.
Have you ever heard a more cleverly named racehorse, DJ?
No, that is very, very, very interesting.
Thankfully, you gave me the usual full answer that enabled me to go onto Google.
That's like something you'd see written on a form that you'd have to sign before you jump off on a bungee jump somewhere.
That's exactly it in France, yes. So if you ever get told to sign something that says A vous risque et peril, then just have a second thought about it. Right then, finally at Lingfield, 3:45, 6 furlongs, Betway handicap. We've got 8 runners. Hopefully they'll all stand their ground so we can have a bit of each way betting. We haven't got the spotlight betting forecast yet, so I can't even help you with a show, but I'm sure Tom can help us with a tip.
Yeah, I don't mind this race at all. I think the likely favourite is probably going to be Inevitable Outcome for David Lotnane after 2 runner-up efforts. He's probably the most likely winner, should be market leader as well. Garth Rocket will be up there too with Desert Land and Kafanandi Khan in the betting. But one at a bigger price that I like is Real Estate. I'd be very keen to back him each way in this field, especially if the 8 runners do turn up and there isn't a late non-runner, which will be the bane on everyone's life in these kind of races on a not-so-busy Saturday. He's only 6-35 in his career, and he's a 6-year-old now, so we know plenty about him. He's not the most prolific by any means, but he goes especially well at Lingfield, often produces his best performance second time up off a break as well, and he's second time up here after a quiet reappearance. He's 0-9 off any kind of absence from a month or longer, so I'd be just ignoring that most recent start for Real Estate. His mark of 74, just £1 higher than his last success, is workable. I think he'll be flying late under William Carson. There isn't too much pace in the field, but if Bombastic goes ahead, he's given an attacking ride by £7 claimer Callan Hutchinson from a decent low post, then they should go quick enough for Real Estate to move into the race and produce a fine late kick to win this at a double-figure price.
Thank you, Tom. By the way, before we get DJ's answer, there is an inspection for this Lingfield race, but we've had some fairly reassuring news from the clerk, who's told one of our reporters that he thinks it should be okay. So hopefully Lingfield will take place. I'll tell you what, DJ, I need some racing to take place because I'm doing luck on Sunday and we're going to be strapped for anything to talk about, aren't we? It's not much use, is it?
Good luck on that.
Never mind. Yeah, I'm sure. There's plenty going on in the world of racing at the moment, isn't there? So we can talk about stuff other than what's going on the track. But if you can talk about what's going to go on at 3:45 vis-a-vis the winner, that would be very helpful.
Yeah, well, I hope you're not relying on me for content. But I was taking a similar view to Tom on how the race will be run. And I'm hoping that Bombastic is going to lead from stall two and set it up. And for that reason, the one I like is Desert Land for Jim Boyle and Shane Kelly. An absolute farce of a race last time. It was well backed in 7-4 favourite last time over course and distance. And it was just a mess of a race. Turned into a sprint. One of these races, and Adam Kirby epitomises these races. You know when they absolutely crawl, and then bang, they're gone just before the home turn. And that was what it was like. It just quickened just before the home turn. And Shane Kelly kind of was sitting, and then they were gone, and race was over. Didn't get into it. He needs a faster pace. But I think with Bombastic in there, he's going to get that because he's got form over further. He was just beaten over 7 at Lingfield not so long ago. I still think he's well handicapped off 70. He did well to win off 66 last month. And if Bombastic does lead, I think Desert Land could be the one to pick up the pieces. He's drawn in stall one. So it's one of these races you might have to watch between your fingers because he's going to need the gaps to open. But hopefully they will.
Thank you very much. DJ goes for Desert Land. Tom goes for Real Estate. And Graham goes for...
Inevitable Outcome. Luke Morris and I catching jockey booking here, and it was outgunned in a protracted battle behind Fred on its most recent start, Mark Johnston's charge. But one of these races, a race like this is one of those that you could just throw a dart at because horses sort of take their turns winning them. They're so tightly packed in the handicap, but it'll probably be short. Luke Morris in the place, but if I was having a dabble, I'd probably go with the likely favourite, as Tom said, Inevitable Outcome.
Okay, let's have a quick break.
Paddy Power are streaming all UK and Irish racing on our app. No bet required. Just log in and watch. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back. It's the Racing Post Weekend Postcast with Bruce Millington, David Jennings, Tom Collins and Paddy Power's Graham Temple. We've looked at the 8 ITV races that are scheduled for Saturday. Let's see what else the chaps fancy. We've got the rest of Lingfield. We've got the rest of Chelmsford. There's an evening card at Wolverhampton, and they are also racing at Nace on the turf. Hopefully, there's an inspection, but DJ thinks they should be okay. There's also Maidan, and of course, we've got our US expert Tom Collins in the studio. So, chaps, without giving your naps away, what else do you like on Saturday? David Jennings.
I do. I hope Nace goes ahead, Bruce, because there's actually some Cheltenham clues at Nace. The favourite for the Mayor's Chase, the Miss Paddy Power Mayor's Chase, runs in the 140. Ellie May for Mark Walsh and Willie Mullins. You would think it's a fascinating match with Shattered Love, but it's 2 miles, and Shattered Love obviously needs further than 2 miles. The worry for Ellie May is that she has to give £5 to Shattered Love, but judging by that performance against Alaho, she should be able to do so. So you'd like to think that she'd be able to take care of those. In the 215, there's a horse here that interests me called the Echo Boy, that's trained by Dermot McLaughlin. Now, it ran last time in a decent race at Navan. It was a rated novice chase. Yukon Lil was in it, and Phils Dudare, who got within a couple of lengths of Envoy Alain, ended up winning it. Now, the Echo Boy was 20-1 shot, and when you look at the form, it says that he was beaten 92 lengths into sixth. But that actually doesn't tell you all you need to know, because the Echo Boy jumped really well for most of the race, traded reasonably short in running, led into the home straight, and was only headed after the third last against proper good horses. I just think something obviously went wrong. He was kind of eased home by Conor Maxwell after his chance had gone. I think he's a good chaser, and his win before that at Fairy House suggests he is. He won by a wide margin from a horse that won since. And I think off a mark of 126, I think the Echo Boy is very interesting in that 215 at Nace.
Thank you very much, David. Graham, what else have you got for us, my friend?
Yeah, the 325 at Nace is an interesting handicap hurdle over just shy of 2 miles. And Paddy Power are going 5 places on this race. So looking for one that you could get, you could probably get a go at the win pay, but at the same time be guaranteed your return, because I expect this horse to be absolutely at the absolute minimum to finish in the top five. It's Royal Rhythm in that 325 at Nace. It was placed at Fairy House on January the 12th on heavy ground. It's only having its sixth career start, its third start in a handicap, and its trainer Philip Rothwell also had a winner the other day at Fairy House. So stable in form, Royal Rhythm looks a solid each way play in the 325 at Nace this Saturday.
Thank you very much, Graham. Before I get to you, Tom, I've got to go back to David Jennings, because as he was talking about the 215, I had a little flick through the field, DJ, and who did my eyes land upon? The original racing postcard, Cliff Horse, Kitten Rock, who you used to tip every single week. And they're like, this is Kitten Rock's day. I'm giving it one last chance, blah, 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 blah. Honestly, and I'm looking at the form figures recently just to see if this actually did turn out to be a horse to follow. Fell second, 14th, 6th, 12th, 2nd, 4th, 9th, 5th, 5th, 10th. Even you, we've found a horse that you've given up on, Kitten Rock. Just had to get that off my chest. Tom Collins,
Can I defend myself? No, am I allowed to defend myself? No.
You are indeed.
I know, but obviously he got really bad injuries and he didn't turn out to be the horse that I thought he was. But like, he did beat Max Dynamite by 14 lengths once upon a time at Limerick. And if things didn't go awry, he could have been the next Envoy LN. But alas, it turned into mush.
I might need to actually have a little friendly couple of quid on Kit.
No, don't. Okay. No, Bruce, we have jumped off that cliff together. We just survived. Don't go back to that cliff.
Okay, fair enough. Tom, hopefully you've got some really, really strong info for us.
Well, there's one at Wolverhampton that I like on Saturday evening called Lord Riddiford. Now, he's probably going to be overlooked in the market. This is in the 7:15 at Wolverhampton. Probably going to be overlooked in the market because Venturous and Tone the Barone are brilliant, reliable performers. They're racing off career high marks, which is potentially used as a negative. But they're the horses that people that love the all-weather during the winter wait to see, because they've got a great turn of foot, and they're just really nice horses. However, they require plenty of luck in running, and they get held up in the early stages. So with little early pace on show, I really want to be with Lord Riddiford instead, because he's going to go forward. Hopefully he can dictate matters from the front. He was pressed early 2 runs back. They went extremely hard from the outset of that day, and he was only beaten by Venturous, who had the race perfectly run to suit. He also bled that day, so you can mark up the effort further. I fancied Law Riddiford last time as well when he was actually in behind. Well, I say in behind. But he was in the race that Tony the Barone was in. But he unshipped Jason Hart at the start. Just extremely unfortunate. This horse needs to catch a break. And hopefully he gets better luck this time around. He's a three-time winner at the track and can easily dictate. And, well, with all the comeuppance with these Saturday meetings and whatnot, there hasn't been enough time for me to yet look at the US racing. However, this is going to go out on Friday afternoon, I believe. So there's one on Friday evening in the US that could interest punters, which is a horse called Crankin' in the 11-12 at Santa Anita, race 6. This horse trained by Doug O'Neill, ran in a good couple of maiden special weight contests last year for his previous trainer. One on turf, then went to on dirt, didn't really handle either surface on those two occasions. Then moved to Doug O'Neill to start this campaign. Ran first time on turf at Santa Anita, was right up with the speed after a poor break in a good field, was only beating two lengths at the line despite having to go wide around the final bend. Now switches back to dirt, which will suit on pedigree. This field is awful. The competition is so bad. And the fact that bookmakers are going to top price 9-4 in this Crankin' is ridiculous. He'll go off about 5-4 favourite. Alexis Centeno, who's a brilliant £7 bug rider, claimer. She's a really good rider. She rides with Doug O'Neill, who's one of the top trainers on the West Coast. She gets aboard. The dropping class back down to a maiden claimer. Crankin' will win this race. There's plenty of pace to chase, and he'll be the one that flies through late and wins with head in chest.
Marvellous. Thank you very much. Let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
And we'll start with Graham Temple.
Bruce, I'm going to go with Convertible in the 3:10 at Linkfield.
The guys
mentioned that there's likely to be a bit of pace early doors, and I think if Convertible can get behind horses with Ryan Moore in the saddle, Hugo Palmer firing in winners, two winners from his four runners in February, that's my nap. Convertible in the 3:10 at Linkfield.
So if Convertible wins, that will raise the roof in Graham's house, won't it? Did you get it, Tom?
Dear, oh dear.
Dear, oh dear.
Thanks, DJ. Right, to you, Tom. We're going to go for DJ for his next nap now after that. DJ, who's your best selection, you wise owl?
I'm going, like, on TV, I think Secret Handshake is going to be very hard to beat in the 2 o'clock, but there's one that runs in the 12:20 at Linkfield, Bruce, called Adab, okay? If any of the listeners here were on Adab when it last ran in October, I'd say they're still crying, Bruce, because how this horse, just if you get a chance after the show, just go and look at the replay. It traded at 1.02 on Betfair, and how it didn't go to minimum prices beyond me, because he looked for all the world like he had won. I actually think Jim Crowley probably thought he had won as well, and then just realised very much in the last stride, uh-oh, and he was caught right on the line. But he just travelled through that race like a vastly superior horse than his mark of 73. He's gone up to a mark of 75 now. But his form from earlier on last season was quite strong. He was third to Mike Frankel in a decent maiden at Leicester. And
I'm just watching it now. Oh,
it's incredible. Like, it is. It is incredible. It was one of these where I had it on in the background, and, you know, I was working away, and you see it and you kind of go, I actually can't believe that horse didn't win. Like, and you can
The second's just absolutely taken off as they've straightened up.
Yeah, you can actually feel it's one of them ones, though, even though you've no financial involvement, you can actually feel the pain of punters that backed Adab that day. It was like Goshen, basically, in the Triumph Hurdle for us.
You're exaggerating now. You're exaggerating now. I mean,
I don't know about that. But I just thought Adab, like, I thought he was the moral winner of that race. And to be honest, Ryan Moore is booked here. It'll be bitterly disappointing for all concerned if Adab can't win off Mark 75. That's the 12:20 at Linkfield, Bruce.
And that is 9-4, according to the Racing Post betting forecast. Tom, who's your nap?
Short and sweet, Bruce. Stop and Search, 3:10 at Linkfield.
Marvellous. Now then, depending on what the weather does, and the thaw, as I said, is due to come starting on Sunday. Next week, we'll be back to normal service, thank goodness. We've got Punchestown, we've got Exeter, we've definitely got Southall on the fibre sand. Is there anything you boys think that the listeners should be backing on Sunday? We'll start with David Jennings.
Oh, Bruce, just give me 1 second. Sorry. My Aoife was just going out the door there with Georgia. 1 second.
That's all right. Where's she off to?
Going to see her mum outside.
Oh, you had to be careful outside, didn't you? Yeah, you had to be careful. I bet she's breaking lockdown and you almost dropped her in it there, didn't you?
She's like 5.3 kilometres away from her mother's house. And, like, I don't know. I think if she sees her outside, she's fine. Anyway, sorry. 1 second. Have notes for Punchestown.
If the guard I are interested in where David Jennings lives, we can provide full details. They're on that lockdown breaker. Go on, mate. What have you got for us on Sunday?
Okay, so the 2 o'clock is quite an interesting race. The Devil's Coachman runs here for Noel Mead and Mark Walsh. Power of Pause is likely to be favoured, I think, for Willie and Paul Townend. And it sees the return of Utred, who I put up at the start of the season as the Supreme Novice Hurdle winner, and it hasn't ran over hurdles yet, suggesting that, sorry, it has run over hurdles, but it hasn't run back over hurdles, suggesting that all has not gone well with Utred, who I thought was going to be a very, very good horse. But the one I like is Fire Attack for Joseph O'Brien and Jack Kennedy. Now, this horse has so much ability, but he just hasn't been able to channel it in the right way yet. He was collared after trading very short and running by Fakira in the 2.5 mile novice hurdle at Navan in November, and then was just outclassed and ran too fizzy and too keen behind Appreciated. Next time against Real Deal, he fell at the last when beaten, but he was the one that went after the pace setting Echoes and Rain that day. Echoes and Rain that day. He went after Echoes and Rain earlier than anybody else, and he just paid for it, I think. He's got a hood on for the first time, and I think they think he's a far better horse than he's seen so far. And I do too. I think he's got ability, this horse. He'll have to run to a mark at the high 130s to win this. But I think he is that. I think he's a 140 horse. So I think Fire Attack is going to be hard to beat in the 2 o'clock at Punchestown. And just one other one I have for you, Bruce. In the 3 o'clock, I have no idea what price it's going to be. But in the 3 o'clock at Punchestown, it's a maiden hurdle. Jungle Boogie runs here for Willie Mullins and Malcolm Denmark. And when I was doing Willie Stapleton with him back in November, he thought this was a really, really nice horse, this Jungle Boogie. It won a bumper at Clonmel when odds on. And it's very strange for Willie Mullins to be going over hurdles with a horse when you're in mid-February. So I would say that Jungle Boogie could be reasonably decent. So Jungle Boogie, 3 o'clock at Punchestown as well.
Thanks very much, DJ. Graham, any Sunday fancies from you?
Yeah, there's a couple that caught my eye. First up, a couple of races at Exeter, the 3:40 there, the Veterans Handicap Chase, I think is a very interesting race. We were talking about Colin Tizard a couple of weeks back that he couldn't buy a winner. I see that he's had 3 winners from his last 14 runners, and he's Royal Vacation returning from a bit of a break in that 3:40 at Exeter on Sunday. I wouldn't be surprised to see that one go close. And then the 4:10 at Exeter on Sunday, the Pertemps Hurdle Series qualifier. I came down on Champagne Platinum at this for Nicky Henderson, finished midfield in the Kim Muir at Cheltenham in March and was third at Newbury on November the 28th in a hurdle race. And I just think it's an interesting angle to step this one up and trip. There isn't too many miles on the clock. And Champagne Platinum, an interesting one there in the 4:10. And over in Ireland, the feature at 4:30 at Punchestown on Sunday, the Grand National Trial. Paddy's paying 5 places in that race. I note the Gigginstown House Stud have 6 runners in it. Joseph O'Brien is an interesting one in Smoking Gun. It was pulled up in the Thiestes. Of course, this horse finished 5th in the Novice Staying Chase at the Cheltenham Festival. And I think things won't happen as quick this Sunday as they did at the Thiestes. And Smoking Gun over this sort of trip with 5 places. Gigginstown also always like to pick up a bit of prize money in with all of their runners to pay all the bills, even though Mr. O'Leary has millions. He still likes to pay the bills. And Smoking Gun, I think, has to at least finish in the top 5. And I wouldn't be surprised if it won the Grand National Trial, Bruce.
Thank you, Graham. And Tom.
Yeah, well, we're going to stay with the same race, the Grand National Trial, the 4:30 at Punchestown, and the same trainer in Joseph O'Brien. But this time I'm going to go for Themistocles. Now, I'm going to go for that pronunciation. I might be wrong. But it's named after an Athenian politician and general. So let's go for the Greek pronunciation, Themistocles. This horse has only run 3 times over fences. He won really well on his penultimate start back in March 2020, beating Mythbuster over 2.6 miles. He's only had 1 start since then, which came at the end of January, 2 weeks ago. He finished 5th of 17 in a handicap hurdle at Nace over just short of 2 miles, a trip far, far too short for him. He needs these kind of stammer staying trips of 3 mile 4, which you're going to get in the Grand National Trial. He really caught the eye. He was staying on powerfully in 5th. They probably just laid him out for this race, I think. He's off a mark of 1.32. His RPR he achieved when he won over fences 2 runs back was 1.40. There looks to be plenty of leeway in his mark. And with that prep run under his belt, I think Themistocles is going to go close.
Lovely stuff. Thank you very much indeed, Tom. Thanks, Graham. And thanks, DJ. Thank you for listening. And next week, we've got loads of great stuff coming up. Maddie's here on Monday, normally a weekend review, but there's not a great deal to review. But she will be looking ahead, hopefully, to the Warwick Monday card, which should have taken place on Saturday. So that's a nice bonus there. And then we're back next Friday when we'll be looking ahead to great stuff from Haydock and Ascot on Saturday, but also on Sunday, the Newbury card that should be taking place tomorrow. So this week isn't the greatest weekend of all time, but next weekend looks absolutely brilliant. And we would love to have your company. Thanks for joining us on the Racing Postcast. Bet safely, have a great weekend, stay warm, and we'll see you next week.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online. And we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, bgambleaware.org.